The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Greg, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is Footy.
Once I figured out how to stop walking in circles after the surgery,
you're all out of balance.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, it takes a while.
Well, I mean, I can only imagine. We got Craig Forrest here as well, of course, who knows all about that. But let's get to it, shall we? BetMGM is the place for soccer in Canada. This is Footy Prime. Carl Becker is a legend of the Canadian Premier League. He's a Canadian legend of Forge as well, and one of the faces of the league from day one. He's also battling testicular cancer, having been diagnosed prior to this season. All right, Carl, I wasn't going to start here, but we have to. Walking around in circles. you had the surgery. How many weeks ago was that?
6 weeks today.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, how is the recovery, aside from the actual walking part?
Yeah, once I stopped walking in circles, as I just mentioned, everything's just been on the up. I feel great. Surgery was quick. It was easy, went well. And then it's just a little bit of the rest and all of that, but have unbelievable support in the team. And honestly, everything's been okay and really been pushing this last week. So I'm hoping to be back sooner than later.
Really? So I heard you mention before how you have thankfully avoided chemotherapy. So
yeah.
What is the recovery process right now? Is it just the physical side of things?
Yeah. So once I had my post-op about a week and a half ago, it was really just getting that clearance to make sure everything was healing well in the scar and there was no sort of herniation or anything like that I didn't do too much exertion early on. Thankfully avoided that. Just avoided all the nonsense and just stayed at home, just rested, picked up a couple books, didn't try and be a hero, which was nice. And literally everything was going well. So it was, once I got that clearance, it was just slowly ramping things up. Obviously you don't want to go too quick to kind of set yourself back. And thankfully haven't had one of those. So just been pushing every day to get back as soon as possible, but obviously listening to my body. But outside of the chemo, it's really just ramp it up and do as much as you can. And as long as I can tolerate everything, there's nothing really holding me back now.
You know, Kyle, on a more serious note, obviously, when you're diagnosed with something like that, and I've obviously gone through it, and we've had a discussion about it, but it can be obviously a very scary thing, and trying to deal with it you're personally, yourself, is one thing, but also it encompasses your family and friends and everybody else, and it becomes very intense and overwhelming at times. How are you dealing with that, and how was that coming out of the gate once you were diagnosed?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I'm very lucky to have people like you who have reached out and given me their support, which has been incredible and something I'm extremely grateful for. But I mean, us athletes, we know it's when you get diagnosed with something like this, it's funny. You kind of just deal with it like you would a hamstring or something like that. There's obviously that little bit of that initial moment when you get the results back in the scan and you see the gravity of the situation and it takes you back a bit. But at the same time, it was kind of like, all right, what's next? Where do we go? And you touched on it there. It's the thing that really kind of like resonated with me that I knew this was a little bit more serious than your classic, oh, just a hamstring or something like that, was the response from the people close to me. If it was up to me, I would just, yeah, okay, go. I probably wouldn't have said anything, but I'm a dad now. I have a kid, I have a wife, and just seeing the reaction of my parents, like, making that call to my mom and telling her the results of that was something I definitely didn't have on the bingo card for 2026 and something that I wasn't looking forward to. And those are the moments where you realize, like, okay, this is a little bit more serious and we got to take a little bit of care and I got to listen to my body and do what's right. But the overwhelming support from everyone has been fantastic. And it's honestly something I won't soon forget, but it's also in the same light, it's a little bit of that motivation to get back and do what I do and do what I love. And then again, with everything that's been going on, how fast surgery was and how well that's been, it's like, okay, I'm listening to my body. I feel good. So let's just let's just go forward. Let's move. We had some incredible news right after the on this point. I don't know if I necessarily put a lot of weight on it first. So you get that news. I'm grateful to not have to go through that. I know that can be a very difficult challenge. And so we just go. We just keep pushing.
Kyle, well, the...
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Sherms. I was just thinking, one of the things we always talk about is men's health on our show. Both mental, we always think is a bit of talk therapy for us. You got the results. Explain like that process of, oh shit, I'm a regular going in to go see the doctor to, and why, or was it instigated by something you found, or was this regular update on your regular medicinal approach to life and health, and then you found out?
Yeah, well, I'll just kind of give you the run of show then. I think that explains the best. It was just, honestly, I just down in preseason, last week preseason in Mexico, and just getting ready for bed and simply just felt something that was off. And the initial reaction, I think, was the most male reaction of all time, where immediately I was like, well, if that was something, it would be different. But the reality was I felt it because it was different. And I immediately knew, but we had the two games against Tigres we were working towards, we're in preseason, so you're doing double days, and it was just classic bury it, like out of sight, out of mind, there's bigger fish to fry right now. And outside of the actual the lump or the feeling something that was off, there was no other symptoms. Like I didn't feel anything. It wasn't necessarily sore, I wasn't in any pain, so I was like, all right, let's go, like done. After the second leg, unfortunately, we get bounced from that, and then just the way our season starts, there is a little bit of a come down, and it simply was just, okay, drop Benny off at school in the house now, have some quiet time. There is no training. We have a little bit of rest period, and it was just light bulb went off, like, buddy, you gotta get your head out of your ass and deal with this thing that you've been burying for a few weeks now. And so immediately just reached out and was like, I think I need to get a scan, and got the ultrasound. Literally got the scan on Friday. I drove back to the city. I got done in Hamilton. And by the time I got back, I got the results on my phone. And in the most 2026 fashion, just immediately put it into ChatGPT. And it was like, oh, shit. That's all the doctor talk that comes in it is like, it just siphoned all that. And it's like, yeah, this is a thing. And there's still that classic male thing. Well, it's probably the 5% chance of something else. And it's just like, okay, whatever. And then just, it wasn't like... It wasn't a fully push it aside. It was like, okay, this is a real thing. And speaking to my wife, it was like, okay, whatever. But our team was so good. So immediately got pushed to a urologist on the following Monday or Tuesday. I can't really remember at this time, but like sitting for it from Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday was just like it's just in the back of your head. Yeah, and then it was just after that, it was just urologist walks in, immediate check. Yeah, no, that's the thing. That's coming out. We're done.
It begs the question, how many people have either touched or seen their junk in the last few months?
Well, that was the funniest one. So we go in for I meet the urologist, and we have like the sort of pre-op situation.
And you shake hands and you're like, yeah, not shaking hands.
Yeah, drop them. And then it's like one nurse comes in, another fellow comes in, another, and my wife's just sitting in the corner. And it's like three people are feeling me up. I'm like, this isn't exactly how I thought. This wasn't the fantasy that I thought I was going to have.
Someone comes to the door with a pizza. Yeah. There's like,
there's this many people involved. It played out a different way, but no, it's
and then they squeeze the ultrasound cream on you, which is cold as hell.
Yeah, honestly,
and then start wandering you around.
Like, but it's just one of those things too. It's like even going and doing the ultrasound. I think like when you kind of zoom out and you have this whole conversation and you just talk about men and getting these things checked out. I think the nature of just being an athlete, like we're just so comfortable walking in and dealing with doctors and stuff, where it's like, yeah, I'm going to go get my ball ultrasound today. Like, I don't even feel a way about it. Whereas like, I think that's like the conversation that needs to be had, where it's like, it's not that weird. Like, you just got to move on. Like, it is what it is. But like, we're all in change rooms all the time. Like, you just like, yeah, doc's got to check you out. You just walk in half naked, like in a room full of random people. They all know who you are. You don't even know their name. And you're just like, yeah, let's go. You got to look at this. And keep it moving. And like, we don't even give any weight to it. But I think that's like the side that goes into the stigma of like, oh, I'm going to let this guy ultrasound my ball. No chance.
It's a great point. It's a great point.
And so it's just one of those funny things where it's like, when you explain this and you start having this conversation, you see certain male reactions, and it's like the athlete side of me is like, I wouldn't even give that any thought. But then I can see how it stops people from doing stuff.
Craig, I'm assuming, told you his story. Craig, you got, if those haven't heard this story, when Craig was diagnosed, or just prior, explain the situation with yourself and Trevor Sinclair, Craig.
Yeah, I remember it was, I felt it on the Friday. We had a game on the Saturday, and then the physio, John Green, said, well, we'll get it scanned on the Monday. So I went in on Monday, and well, first of all, we're out training, and Harry was pissed off only because the lads were all miserable. It was a beautiful sunny day. And he's like, when the keepers come over, he goes, I want you to get stuck into them, kind of inspire them a little bit because they're a miserable bunch of sack of shit. So I remember I was over there and I was like, lads, cheer up. This could be my last training session.
Oh, Jesus.
And it was. But anyway, so we go into, we're having a shower, and I haven't gone for the scan yet. And Trevor Sinclair is like, oh, you're going for a scan? He goes, I've got a lump on my nut as well. And I went, oh, okay. Well, did you have a scan? And he goes, yeah, I had it last week. It's all good. There's a cyst. That's why I'm going for a scan. Okay. He goes, well, what does yours feel like? So long story short, he's on the treatment bench getting a massage from Rupert. Great massage therapist, father-in-law of Lennox Lewis.
Oh,
anyway, that's another story. But anyway, so I end up grabbing Trevor's bollock and feeling his lump. So I'm standing there, like, I'm standing over him. He's got my bollock in his hand, and he's like, "Yeah, that doesn't feel like mine." I go, "No, it doesn't feel like it. Yeah. Yours feels like more like a, I don't know, almost like a peppercorn."
Oh, it's so
yours
good.
Is more like what?
Mine was more like a, I don't know about you, Kyle, but it felt like almost like an acorn. Like it felt like a you run your fingers smooth and they had a little lump.
Yeah, well,
encompassed the whole thing.
Mine wasn't even it's not like there was a specific lump. It's like my entire nut just turned into a rock. Like it was like the whole thing. Yeah, so it was like my tumor was internal and like the entire thing became it. So it wasn't on the outside.
Wow. Really? Okay. Yeah.
And yeah. Did you keep it?
So I made a joke. I was going to say, they took it away for the biopsy. They wouldn't let me have it. But I was going to say, I'm going to put it.
Me neither.
Put it in a jar and say the worst trainer of the week has to have my nut in their locker.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah. I don't know if this generation would find that funny, but
yeah,
that's a little
bit. Well, that was the substitute.
We've actually often over the years in the podcast had this, put it out there to search for Craig's missing ball. We've done this for a long time and we still haven't found it. It's putting us on doctor's mantelpiece with a little West Ham kit over the top of it.
100%.
You know, legendary. Yeah. But I mean, getting serious again though, I mean, the fact that you found it so early, Kyle, that I imagine was extremely important given the type of cancer that you had that was internal, not just a lump on the outside. Could that have got a lot more serious more quickly?
Well, I think the main thing to stress, like first and foremost, I'm by no means am I an expert in any of this. Like I have incredibly limited knowledge. It's just my experience. But from the conversations I've had, it's everything is just early detection. The pool of cancer is so big and you find out you have cancer and it's testicular cancer, whatever it may be. And that's so scary. But the reality is it's incredibly curable, which is fantastic news. And it's all based around early detection. And all that is to do with just speak up when you find something or go get checked. Then I'd rather go get checked and go through all these scans and stuff and find out, oh, it was just a little mass that you could just pass or it would just go away on its own. Then you have to go through a surgery. But ultimately, you have a surgery, you're on the shelf for a couple of weeks, and you're back to 100% health. So it's one of those things that is inherently scary, but it is incredibly curable, and we have the stuff to go through with it and have that full recovery. So I do think the early detection helped. I can't speak to what would have happened if I had the old 25-year-old Kyle response and just buried it and not said anything for a few months and what that could have turned into. But I do think the obvious reality is, had I pushed it off and done all the stuff, it just leads to a couple rounds of chemo. Maybe it's one, maybe it's a few, who knows, but there would have been further treatment the longer I didn't say anything. So the early detection has been the, I think the bright light in all of this.
Well, and this is one of the things about coming public, which is so important, Kyle, and I appreciate you doing it too, because the awareness is important. You know, we talk about the differences that, you know, the general public have and men have about facing this sort of thing in a dressing room, access to medical staff, comfort as far as getting scanned and things like that as a footballer, and being comfortable being naked around other men. It's really important that we get that awareness out there, that people, that if you feel something that's different or something is abnormal in your body, get it checked out, because we just generally don't do that as guys very well.
Yeah, 100%. And even when I found it, like, there was an initial hesitation of someone's just gonna be like, oh, you're an idiot, that's nothing. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing that I found is whether it was a physio, the doctor, surgeon, whatever, like, no one is gonna come in and be like, oh, why are you here for checking that out? Mm-hmm. It's always just be like, oh, this is the reality. Like, we'd rather it be this than have to go to do surgery. So come just get that second opinion and make sure we're all on the same page. And it just goes, it's all in line with that early detection, speaking up if you feel something that feels out of place, even if it's just for a little peace of mind, give yourself a better sleep.
Yeah. And there's a level of, and I know Sharms would have a problem with this because his body's so weird. get over yourself. Go to see the doctor. Sharms, go see the doctor. Stop being afraid of men seeing men or women seeing you nude. It's something that you look, people have seen smaller things. So, that's my little comedy bit for this portion of the pod. Kyle, who was the hardest conversation to have? Was it your mom, your wife, your son? Which was the toughest?
Thankfully, my son's still young enough where I just got to show him the scar. And I just said, oh, I just had to work on my hip. We don't really need to get into the nuance mm-hmm. of it right now. But given that I have it, it's going to be a conversation we're going to have as he gets older to make sure that he's constantly getting checked and all that stuff. But without a doubt, it was my mom. I mean, that's just not something you want to be telling your parents, just in the sense that you have something wrong, not the mm-hmm. what it was. It was just, you don't want to be calling your mom saying that you have any type of cancer, saying that you have to go in for surgery or any of that stuff. So that was difficult, but credit to both my mom and my dad. Their response was incredible and gave me a ton of support, and I knew they'd be right there with me, which was fantastic. Another difficult one was obviously in front of the group, telling the boys in the room, just because it's like, that's every single person within that age range of that this affects. And it's also like the exact array of people where you're like, well, you might have something, you got to speak up. There's the ego that goes into being an athlete where no one's going to speak up. There's the air of invincibility that we all have where it's like, oh yeah, what would never happen to me? And then you just look at the simple sample size of the CPL and myself and Marco Carducci mm-hmm. in the span of a few years have both dealt with this. And it's, even when it happened to him, it was crazy. He came out, he spoke, it was incredible, but it was just a thing that I never even gave any space for that would happen to me. And it's not necessarily ignorance, but it's just, the numbers, you know, it's not going to be me. And it's just one of those funny things where it happened. And so when I stand in front of the room and you address the group, you just don't want to be up there telling them that you have something wrong, that there's a little chink in the armor and that you're going in for surgery and you're going to be spending some time away from the thing that you love doing the most. But credit to all the boys, their response and their support was incredible, just like everyone else. And just a little, they gave me the motivation I needed to keep going as well.
Yeah, we had Marco on the show a couple of years back now, I think, talking about it as well, his experience. But you're right, men do need to get over themselves. That mm-hmm. being said, it isn't always that easy. You know, if, as an athlete, you have the team support. You got the access, as mentioned, to the medical staff. Nowadays, you know, the way the medical profession is here in Canada and Ontario, if you haven't got your own doctor, you know, getting mm-hmm. an appointment can take a long time. You know, some guys might be like, I can't be bothered to wait that 3 weeks. No, just go and see, go to a walk-in clinic.
Yeah,
get the process moving. If you suspect anything, chances are it isn't cancer, right? You know, you can find a lump on your testicle, and it's a small percentage. It could be cancer. It could be a variety of things, which can be treated. But Absolutely. Maybe it is cancer.
Yeah.
In which case, get it sorted now. And it's easy for me to say. I haven't been through this, but I know a lot of people out there, and perhaps it would be me as well, who would be like, oh man, do I want to go through this? Yeah, really got a choice in the matter. But that's the thought.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, at the least, you can always call Craig and Kyle and they'll hold, you know, they can test it out for you.
Yeah, you'll come over and hold your ball.
That's right.
For sure. You know. Business.
Yeah, well, let you know.
That's our foundation. We're starting with that.
It must be. I mean, I'm saying easier, but the fact that your boys are playing so well right now, you know, you start the season just superbly, Forge, as most people expected. You're on the sidelines watching. It must be killing you not to be on the pitch, of course, but a little bit easier given how your boys are playing.
Well, I mean, watching a game is awful. Like, it's so ridiculous. I don't know how any parent does it, but the second you have skin in the game and you care and you have no effect on it, is a nightmare. It's any diehard fan knows it, but it's legit torture because it's funny. You're in the tunnel, you're walking out. There's a big game. You're supposed to have all this pressure, but you have that buzz and you know you're about to be involved in something. And that's fun. Like, it's a whole different level of whether it's anxiety, nerves, excitement, just adrenaline, all that stuff. But then you take it out, you're sitting on the couch and now you're a grown man screaming at your TV.
And it gets worse.
It just doesn't feel great. But no, the boys have been incredible. I mean, like, the no goals conceded in four games. We've even allowed limited chances. Like, the way we're defending, I think our unit is fantastic right now. I do think we need to be a little bit more clinical and we can do a better job of seeing these games out and taking our chances. But that's also been a conversation we've been having year over year. And I just think that's just the thing in sport. It's scoring goals in soccer is a difficult thing. There's a reason people get paid millions and millions of dollars to do it. It always looks easier than it is. But yeah, we just got to keep pushing for those because I think there's a few of these we could put to bed a little earlier and give ourselves a little bit more breathing room. But four games into the season, no goals conceded, top of the table. I think there's a lot to be excited about and a lot to keep working towards.
Can you get your spot back when you get healthy again?
That's the best part about all this. And it's funny enough, it's literally been a thing I've been saying year over year to this group. It's like, we have such a competitive locker room, but I think this year potentially could be the year we have the most depth. And it's anyone who's been involved in a good team. Like, it's the guys who are coming off the bench. It's the 16, 17, 18 on the roster who are pushing every single day to make it incredibly competitive and make it difficult. And they don't understand how valuable that is when someone goes out and then you get that chance and you take it. Like, you now make it so hard for me to get back into the team. Mm-hmm. But that is the ultimate sign of respect because we're pushing each other forward. We're raising the bar. And that is how we continuously just raise the standard within our locker room, but raise the standard of the league. And I think every single team needs to be striving towards that. But easier said than done. The course of a season, the emotions that go into it, when you anytime you're taken on a lineup, it feels personal. You get a little pissed off at the coach, any of those little things. But when you are a high functioning team that has the correct standards, you're going in and everyone's pushing in. And there is that trust where whoever's getting called, whoever's starting, they're going to go out and do the business. And it's, you're cheering for them. You want them to do well because then, you know, the second they take their foot off the gas, you're going in and you're raising it and you're going to make them better. So it's been good to watch, but I'm chomping at the bit to get back, man.
How close are you to getting back, do you think?
I got a goal of this upcoming week. I don't know if it's
really
it's been confirmed or not, but we'll see. I obviously got to get in full training first, but I passed a pretty big fitness test on Friday, which was huge and a nice little marker for us. So gonna keep pushing.
I was also thinking that you're a year older, but you're a little bit lighter.
Exactly. And it's funny. Right. I actually just beat my preseason beep test.
Yes.
Who knows? Maybe this was maybe that one nut was holding me back.
Hey, that's what I say to Craig. I say that to Craig all the time.
We spoke to Bobby last year, and he's talking about you and saying that this guy's in his mid-30s. He shouldn't be playing at this level. You know, we didn't expect this. Mm-hmm. It's almost you getting younger with age. Like, what is your secret, Carl? I mean, you're in your mid-30s now. You're still playing at the top of the your game.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's. I love what I do. And obviously the course of my career, the trajectory, it's changed, but I've had to change with it. And the fact of the matter is the last couple of years, I've been lucky enough to have that consistency of going in and having a coaching staff that respects me and having that stability of knowing where I'm going to go to training or knowing what the game day is going to look like. All those little things that I think can weigh on a professional player. When it is so difficult, where you're just trying to get your foot in the game and get that little foothold and have that comfortability. And it's that balance, right? You don't want to get too comfortable where you take your foot off the gas, but you also want to know where you stand. And I'm incredibly fortunate to know where I stand in this locker room. And it's obviously that's played a huge role in it. But then I've also had to make a ton of changes. I know I'm not 25 anymore. being a parent, simple things like that, where it's after a game, maybe I'm not having three bottles of wine and going out till 4 a.m. and whatever it may be, you know, it's
I think he's Kyle's telling some stories here all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's fine by me. I've had to change my process in certain things, but I still have stuff that I want to achieve. I still have the mentality where, okay, I'm 35 years old, but I do genuinely believe I have stuff I can work on. I have stuff I can learn, and just the way the game changes and having a coach like Bobby, who's consistently pushing the standards, and he demands so much where it is exciting. You go in, you have a chance to learn. You have a chance to figure something out where it's like, if we do these little tactical changes or these little technical changes, that they can have such an influence on the game, and how can you continuously show up and just be a student. And I've been fortunate enough where since the age of 3 or 4, whenever it was, I fell in love with this game. I've had this dream and I've been able to do it my entire life. So why not just continue to do it? And I think over a course of a career in certain situations as a player, it's so easy to get wrapped up in all the bullshit. And where I'm at now, whether it's the maturity or whatever it may be, you know that you can still go in and just got to control what you can control, because there is so much that's out of it and that has an effect on whether you're playing or transfer, whatever it may be, all those little things. But so many times I can only say this because I've been guilty of it too, but you get distracted by all the wrong stuff. Like it's the old cliche, but it's just true. Like you go in and guys are worried about what they're wearing, a shoe deal, a bonus structure, whatever it looks like. But it's like none of it matters if you're not playing. And again, I can only say this because I've gone through it and I'm on the other side. And yeah, the other side might look different than what I thought it was going to look like. But I'm happy, I'm valued, and I'm playing in a team that is competitive and we're pushing a standard. So I have a lot to be happy about, and there's still tons of work to be done.
Is there coaching something that you would like to get into? Because you seem to would suit it down to the ground as far as I'm concerned. Is that something that you would aspire to be?
I've been in this sort of balance of the coaching or the business side, sort of like the general manager direction, and it's a constant battle because I do love the team. I love the idea of being involved in that and creating that. But I don't know if I want to be in that minutia of being a coach. I do think it's so similar to the life we've lived as a player. But I haven't necessarily made a full decision on that. But being involved in the game, being involved in soccer is definite for sure. If the opportunity is there, that's what I want to push through. So staying involved in the game for sure.
Good.
Well, listen, men's health advocacy is so important. We need more of it. There's a future in that as well. It takes, with excuse of pun, it takes balls though. So thank you very much for this, mate. Really appreciate it. Good luck in recovery. And we see you back on the pitch the next couple of weeks. I mean, that'll be some story. Really is incredible. And I think you'd have, and no matter who you support in the CPL, you'd be backing Carl Becker this weekend or next weekend. So thanks so much. Continue the path to good health, and we will chat with you very soon.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. Pleasure as always, guys.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle. Thank
that is Carl Becker. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.